Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Do you want to get your message heard?
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Sheffield Live, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to
Sheffield Live. Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to...
was here. He would kind of like, he'd be kind of discussing this one with you. So yeah, I mean, what happened back in 2008, Renault's F1 crash controversy, or controversial, whichever way you're looking at that, known as the Crashgate by the media. So this was a sporting scandal. Renault F1 driver, Nelson Piquet, was actually 73 now, deliberately smashed up in Singapore the Grand Prix to give his, you know, a sporting advantage to his teammate Fernando Alonso. What happened were is that you know, a court ruling said that Massa, who was denied a championship win, can try to recover damages in regards to the controversy, but rejected his claim for a declaration should he have won the 2008 driver's title. So it's like, you know, if he wins, which I think there's a big chance, I think you're talking about 64 mil, you know, damages is looking for. And if he actually wins that, you're saying that, you know what, we're not going to, you know, give you no declaration, no honour, not on the podium, no champers and all that kind of stuff. You know, we're not going to allow you to bust champagne bottle and, you know, watch out for the carp tops. Yeah. But the Brazilian launched legal action against his former F1 boss, because Eccleston, I think he's about, that dude must be in his 90s by now, Bernie Eccleston. 95, I do believe, you know. About time them man stop behave themselves and just settle and cool, you know. And also against the governing body, the FIA. So there's a, you know, there's a lot going off there. The FIA stands for, you know, Federation International Automobile, and obviously the F1 is Formula One. I'm not, you know, here to teach your guys out there and women, if you like the kind of sport chat, you know, to suck heads. But like, you know, there's you know, alleged conspiracy. This is what Massa was saying, denied him the title, which was actually won by Lewis Hamilton. And I think Lewis Hamilton to date, he's got quite a few tackles under his belt. I think it's 104. Well, like I said, if Massa wins this one, you can joke that one off, but he's not standing on no podium and busting champagne. Yeah? So Massa believes that if F1 chiefs had investigated the incident sooner rather than later, the result would have been, you know, a mule. He would have been crowned world champ. Massa, 44 now, is seeking compensation in the region of about 64 mil. That's a, you know, a hell of a lot of money. I mean, if you, you know, believe in something, you believe in fairness, and no teething, and I'll use, you know, Chris Eubank Jr. saying, teeth, obviously there's no drugs involved in this one, but nevertheless, teeth is a teeth, I shouldn't say, you know. So yeah, Massa is saying that Eccleston, F1 and the FIA attempted to get the case thrown out of court, saying it was Massa's performance which stopped him winning the title and the matter had been brought too late. You know, well, when is it too late for a matter like that? Because, you know, if Eccleston, F1 boss, and the governing body, Eccleston's got a lot of cash. He is F1, you know what I mean? And link up with the FIA. How can he get past them bigwigs? Mr. Justice Jay handed down his ruling for the hearing Thursday, just gone, and allowed the matter to proceed, and said Massa had a real prospect of proving a trial, you know, for his case for damages. Now, if the judge is saying that, and Massa's got the evidence, in fact, the evidence is not blind, you know, because you can go on YouTube now and you can put in, you know, the Crashgate scandal back in 2008. Now, I kind of like watched that myself. And to me, my opinion, I believe that, you know, the Crashgate scandal, yeah, it is a big scandal as well, you know, because the F1 driver, PK, I saw him with my own eyes, you know, and there was no obstruction in front of him, just smashed into the side, not into another F1 car or anything, just deliberately smashed into the side. I mean, if you're gonna investigate that, I don't think it's kind of rocket science or anything. You know what I mean? It's there for everybody to see. Deliberation, yeah. You know. However, to eliminate that of Massa's case to proceed comes too close to view, impinging on the right of the FIA to the governor. Its own affairs, the judge said. Like, Massa is not entitled to a claim relief for, you know, reputation or publicity reasons, he added. The present claim cannot, of course, rewrite the outcome of the 2008. Well, I think it depends which way you look at that, because if Massa wins the Crashgate scandal controversy from 2008, he wins his case, he gets his 64 million and sails off into the sunset with that, then surely, you know, Hamilton's victory, like I said, today he's got 104 Grand Prix wins, that gets choked off to 103. And then surely that victory then, it should be celebrated as Massa's, you know? I can't see any other way around that at all, you know? Massa himself, he welcomed the ruling, saying the statement, it marked a great day for him and for justice. I'll say that again. A great day for him and for justice. And that's bearing in mind what the judges said. And for everyone who loves F1, you know, if you just reset that, believe the crash, stole the world championship from him, you know. FIA, meanwhile, pointed to elements of Massa's claim being dismissed and said, while the matter could proceed, it was on significantly narrow grounds. I mean, what kind of narrow grounds are they talking about, you know? Because there's no doubt Mr. PK smashed into the side and allowed his teammate Alonso to take the, you know, to gain an advantage. Massa's claims, he said he was unfairly denied the championship, which I believe I'm on Massa's side, you know. Following PK, crashed into, you know, like I said, into the Singapore barriers at the side. And Massa was leading before that and ended up 13th, you know. So clearly being, you know, denied an opportunity. I mean, let's go into it a little bit deeper, yeah? Because Massa was leading, like I said, in Singapore, from the pole position. So from the start of the race, Massa was controlling that, and PK deliberately crashed at turn 17 on the lap 14 to bring out the safety car. Safety car comes out, race, you know, is starting again. You know, this benefits Alonso, who had made an early pit stop than his competitors, big time. During the safety car period, Ferrari botched Massa's pit stop, and he left the pit with the fuel hose attached to the car, accidentally knocking over a crew member, you know. Hamilton, who came third, increased his championship lead over Massa to 7 points, subsequently won the title by a single point, so that's significant. At the time, PK described the shot into the wall as a simple mistake. Well, like I said, you know, those of you who have got access to YouTube, it's on there and it's clear. So, you know, at which part of that is a mistake? Renault dropped him during the, 2009 season. He revealed that he'd been asked by the team, deliberately crashed, and his actions led to an investigation which resulted in Renault team principal and chief technician officer Simmons being banned from F1 for, you know, several years. Alonso was cleared of wrongdoing and the FIA found no evidence he was aware of the plan. Well, how surprising is that, you know? So that is, he can just plead his innocence. You know, how can you prove that somebody was aware of the plan? Unless you've got documentation, you've got video evidence, you know, or his phone's being tapped and stuff like that, and you've heard them kind of discussions. But, I mean, like I said, the judge clearly believes that, you know, there's something going on. And like I said, I'm on Massa's side. Massa launched his legal action against F1 and Eccleston, like I said, and the governing body, the alleged conspiracy. You know, the bigwigs, they're denying that. Massa says that they denied him of the title. Is it tit for tat out there? While Lewis Hamilton, like I said, he won that by 1 point. You know, Massa seeking, you know, compensation for damages up to 64 mil. But this, again, this will depend on, you know, the legal proceeds. Looking at compensation, what have we got in that? Loss of earnings. There's also, you know, benefits also as well. Spin-offs, being champ. Yeah? But, hear this now. What I'm saying, if Bernie Eccleston and, you know, the FIA, if they've got the lawyer, the same lawyer as O.J. Simpson, Johnny Crane, from 1995, then they'll get away with it. That's the only way they're going to get away with that. You listen to Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live, 21st of November. CV and G don't present, yeah? But me out control things right now, you know? Yeah, hope everybody out there is doing fine. And, you know, this is a sporting show with a massive, massive difference, yeah? I want to go into a little bit of cricket now. Obviously, you've got the Ashes down under, I saw them say. I want to big up Jofra Archer, you know? And sometimes people will think, you know, black guys, how come them now play for the West Indies and that? How come him now, you know, wear the flag and all them kind of things? But let me tell you something now. There's a reason while Jofra Archer ain't playing for the West Indies. Archer now 30 in his first over for the Ashes. Yeah, it was on fire, it was on the rampage. And actually, this guy, His bowling speed's at 93.3 mph, which is miles per hour. I mean, tell you. Now, Archer felt, you know, back in the days, he felt kind of ignored by, you know, the West Indies, you know, through people them. And it's not the first time we're hearing a kind of story like this, neither. Yeah? How many times have we heard these about, you know, athletes being ignored by their own people them? You know? And it's kind of sad, really. Well, have they actually missed out on Archer? You know? Because, like, way back in 2013, England thought they had a good first day of the series. Talking about the Ashes, if you've just tuned in. So much so that, you know, Stuart Broad arrived to see the media with a copy of the Brearstone Courier Mail, which is their newspaper over there. So the newspaper that refused to print his name tucked under his arm. England were subsequently destroyed by Michael Johnson and lost 5-0. Just to whet your appetite in that. So let me carry on with this story now. So Archer actually played for the West Indies under-19s. Now, not a lot of people know that, you know. But yeah, he played for them under-19s. And then he got injured. Suffered kind of like, you know, back injury and stuff. And unfortunately, they didn't take it any further, you know. But like I said, whose downfall is that? Yeah? So like, what Archer did, grew up in the Barbados and decided to try his luck, you know, in the UK. And he still was kind of like played with back injury and that. But I think it was maybe it was last year when Archer thought that it was over, his injuries and stuff. They've had to be patient. You know, he's had to go through, you know, hell and back. Yeah, just to make the count. But, you know, he kind of like, he was on fire. The first over, got a guy out. Now, people might say, do you know what? Yeah, he could have been doing that for the West Indies, but, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of flex different and that. But until you know the story, you know, which I'm going to tell you once again, Archer did actually play for the West Indies under-19s and then, you know, got injured, unfortunately. Got ignored, like I said, we've been there before. We've heard kind of stories like that before. So what do you do if a nation's ignoring you? You dip your toe in the next hot water, innit? Simple as that. So anyway, so often England have arrived in Australia armed, only with knives for a gunfight, you know, in Perth. The England, you know, kind of like, you know, fast bowling scene. Obviously, Archer leading that. Are in good stance at the moment. After an open day when 19 wickets fell, the most of that was on day one. That hasn't happened since what? 1909, 1910, something like that, if I can remember. England slept in Perth with a 49-run lead. One more Australia, you know, tail ender to rip out of their opportunity to set a match-winning target. England and Ashes planning have not always gone according to plan. 4 years ago, England 11 appeared to have planned in London was not suitable for the conditions they encountered in the first test in Brisbane. England struck to their blueprint and were chasing their tails for the remainder of a 4-0 series defeat. Well, it could be different now. Because this now, with Archer in their ranks, could be pretty tasty. Now I'm gonna bust something here. Obviously, you know, your listeners can't see it, but this is what it sounds like to be an Archer fan. Hear that? In the first over, Archer's on it and made the breakthrough, you know?
I think we all need to lie down and have something quite sharp. These kind of contests get built up and then they arrive and you're always sometimes a bit disappointed with the kind of action, but well, pretty much from the first over today, it's all been intense. Zach Crawley with that big drive, I guess that's the Zach Crawley way of getting out. Start was magnificent for Australia. Harry Brook dancing down and getting off the mark with a dance down to Mitchell Starc, who was bowling 145 kilometres an hour. There was some brilliant bowling today. It's a pitch here in Perth where there's just a little bit of movement. There's a bit of a steep bounce at times. And I have to say, when England got the ball in hand, the bowlers had to get the batters out of trouble because they lost 5-0 when they batted. Playing, you know, the Baz ball way was quite good at times when Jamie Smith and Harry Brook were playing, and then those last 5 wickets fell to a little bit of stupidity. But you need bowlers to get you out of trouble, and England had an attack today where all 5 quick bowlers, they bowled with skill, pace, they were intimidating. I mean, clearly you get a wicket in the first over, it gives you a boost, but I thought those first 10 overs from Jofra Archer and Gus Atkinson were as good as I've seen from an England team for a long time.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, for your cricketites out there, you know, kind of like, you know, but try to cover different kind of like areas of sports and obviously different sports as well, whether that's rugby, cricket, boxing, football, snooker, darts, you know, all them kind of things. This is where it's at on Sweet Talking Sports. But I just thought that's kind of interesting from Archer. Wish him kind of all the best because he's had his troubles. He's had his fair share of injuries. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, anytime they see, you know, a black youth and that representing England, whether it's football or cricket, it's like, what happened to the warm nation and how come they can't represent? Well, Archer's got a story on his back. And that was that he did play for the West Indies under 19s. And then I think it was 2014 for their World Cup squad. That's when he suffered his back injury. And he's been plagued with back injury for quite some time. You know, felt he got ignored by, you know, the Caribbean people then, you know. I must say, I put up foot and, you know, I drink water from coconut and that, you know what I mean? And just kind of like not really thinking, you know, on the other side, you know. If somebody's got injured, you know, just disrespect them, discard them. You know what I mean? You have to kind of like nurse them through the injury and that, get them time to recover. You know what I mean? But it's not the first time we've heard that story out there, you know? So, yeah. Nice one, Archer. Nice one, Sam. You know? And then when them get the, oh, yeah, Archer, no? How is that? Jolly good show, jolly good chap. You play cricket, use a cricket bat. And when you score 100, man, respect that. And then, like I said, when they get you out, they say, boy, How is that? You know? Boxing. This show ain't nothing really without the boxing. And, you know, we've heard that Usyk has vacated the WBO title. Well, I think of all the titles, the WBO is not the glamour one, really, you know? And for me, that's like Usyk saying, do you know what? I'm not fighting when the board want me to fight. I'm the you know, the number one guy. You know, I want more respect than that. So, vacate that one. You don't have to kind of like, you know, go in the gym. He must be taking time out, spending it with his family and stuff. You know what I mean? And you can't blame him. But as for Fabio now, yeah, he's kind of world champ. But to get a title now, and not having to fight for it, to be world champ, who do you reckon's hurting now? Mr. Nosey Parker? Parker. You know, must be kind of seething, because what an opportunity he had. You know, didn't have to fight Fabio, but took the fight on, and then messed up, and it's had an adverse effect with a Class A. Now, the adverse effect wasn't before the fight, it was after the fight. You know, Parker's saying, do you know what, contamination, whatever. But a lot of people in that situation, they don't stick their hand up and say, yeah, I've done wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you know what? I'm going to prove my innocence. You hear it all the time. You know what I mean? Not one of them, right, will say, I messed up. You know? I kind of like, you know, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have took that. Yeah? So there's a consequence to that, you know. But Mr. Wardley says he still needs to earn the right to call himself world champ, and believes he has a point to prove to fans. Well, Fabio, you know, put your money where your mouth is. And you have a whole heap of that as well. And there's no doubt that the world title will be in Ipswich. I love them. Portman Road, you know. Back in the days when Bobby Robson was sporting the Dutch masters, them Arnold Murin and Frank Tyson. Yeah? You know? So Fabio will know all that kind of stuff. But the Ipswich fighter beat Joseph Parker, you know, to win the WBO interim title last month. And was promoted to the full champ. Like I said, after Usyk chose, yeah, to vacate that title. I mean, there's nothing out there saying that this is why Usyk has vacated that, but I presume he's kind of not answering to and not bowing down to the WBO people then. He wants to fight when he wants to fight, yeah? So, you know, Usyk still holds the WBA and the WBC and also the IBF, which, you know, compared to the WBO. I'm not saying that, you know, that's just a belt, you know, but it doesn't carry, what I'm saying, it doesn't carry a lot of weight that, like the WBA or the WBC or the IBF titles. I need to be clear on that, you know. Usyk holds them after beating up Daniel in the Lion's Den in own backyard at Wembley in July to become two-time undisputed champ, you know. It's always nice to do things properly, yeah? That's what Wardley would be saying. To do things in the ring. I hear that. You know, have the belt handed to him, you know? Shake hands with the opponent after the fight. Look at them in the face and say, boy, you know? Two big dancing partner them, you know? Because to make a good fight, you need a good dancing partner. Yeah? And I don't mean the foxtrot, you know, on come dancing or anything like that. Yeah, we're talking, you know, sweet talking sport. Yeah. Wardley, 30. 11th Britain to hold the heavyweight title, but feels he still needs to work, you know, to win some supporters over. I don't think he's got anything to prove. I think there's always somebody better than him what will come round the corner and give him a good clobbering, because he does get caught quite open. But what he's got on his side is that big hammer, you know, the tomahawk, yeah? And he can lick people with them. So it might be a little bit messy with Wardley. It might be a little bit unconventional, a little bit scrappy, but nevertheless, he can have a good tear with somebody. And his game is also as well, you know. They don't like it when, you know, the belt's in their eyes, just handed to them like, you know, like some, you know, bread and butter pudding, you know, what you get backyard, you know, when it just come out of the oven, handed to you, you know. It's the process what people don't really want to do, you know. They don't want to kind of like, you know, grate the coconut and put the coconut milk in it for the sweet potato pudding too, you know. They just want it to them, handed to them, you know. Well, that's not the case for Mr. Wardley. So there's different levels out there. But, you know, like I said, he is the champ. And I think he needs to just shake himself, because you never know. He might get touch up again one time. Yeah, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday, the 21st of November, 1836. And, you know, as you know, there's no G, no CV. It's just me one, but we just run it same speed, you know, same way me I run things. Gonna go into a bit of cycle now. This is just kind of a bit of news, really, and I just think it's kind of interesting, and I hope you too as well. Like I said, we cover all kind of different sports on here. Not just football or rugby or boxing. We'll dip into other things as well. You know, what you get on here, you won't really catch on another sports radio show. Not in the way that I deal with it anyway. You know, and if G and CV was it, I'd say not in the way we deal with it. But, you know, it's just me one. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about Iniesta. Obviously, people will know him from the World Cup. Spanish player, played for Barcelona. More than a decent player also as well, Iniesta. Bad player. Look him up on YouTube and you'll see what I'm talking about. Israeli cycling team taken over by Iniesta's company. Like I said, footballer. Switched. And kind of like he's got a cycling team on his portfolio. The team, formerly known as Israel Premier Tech, have been taken over by a branding company co-founded by Barcelona's legend and World Cup winner, like I said, Andres Iniesta. It was announced yesterday evening that the team had changed ownership and registered as Swiss following their Israeli owners being the subject of several pro-Palestinian protests and a loss of their title sponsor. The team will be now known as NSN Cycling from, you know, next year, as they say they are a Swiss team with a Spanish structure. Now, you know, the SAN, it's kind of like a... Really kind of like, I like the acronym really, because it's like never say never. I think that's done very cleverly, really. So like I said, never say never cycling. NS will be known as that next year. A statement suggested that they've been sold by Israeli owners, although this has not been formally confirmed to the BBC after the request, you know, for comment. You know, people want to know. Who's taking you over? Well, we know that. How much? Undisclosed. Not going to know everything. Crazy. The team said that they made acquisition of the team's governing competition, license and subsequently role in the team's operators. Like I said, they'd be known as NSN, which stands for Never Say Never, in a company founded by the one and only Iniesta, former Barcelonian Spanish player. You know, Iniesta, I think he's been very clever here. You know. Now, they claim global audience through the power of sport and entertainment. That's what they do. Like I said, NSN was formerly known as Premier Tech. Ended its association this month, despite the team initially agreeing to move to Israel from their name. So, you know, certain things were probably agreed and some people thought, you know what, if he wants it, let him have it. There's probably still people involved. All they're doing is just rebranded and change your name. There's got to be some kind of money exchanged also as well. Don't let them fool you on that. The team had agreed a change in October after public pressure from the Canadian company. And also the Palestinian protest during España, Canada company, you know, got a bit too tasty for them. Four-time Tour de France winner, Froome, signed for the team back in 2020, but was released last week following serious injuries sustained in a training accident this year. The conflict was sparked by Hamas-led attack on southern Israel back in, you know, 7th October, I do believe. So, you know, Iniesta, I think that's a clever move. Known primarily for a trophy-ladding career with Barcelona and Spain, including scoring the winning goal. What was that? World Cup final, 2010, I do believe. Cycling, you know, is considered one of the next areas of the significant global growth in early sport. Many of the sport figureheads claiming for a new financial model to be established. Well, they've got that, haven't they? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, busting some background tunes as well. You know, this is what you get. So not better feel no way, you know? See it there? Drop anything. Like I said, the cycling stuff, you know, good bit of business there by Iniesta. 1843. In fact, I want to just jump back into the boxing scene. I want to just kind of like advertise this fight. The fight's not till January the 24th, I do believe. And it's part of the Magnificent Seven by Itumo and Franklin. Like I said, the 24th of January, this fight is, I believe it's in Manchester. And I'm not just kind of like bigging up Itumo and Franklin. I want to talk about 27 Willie Hutchinson from Scotland against Ezra Taylor, known as the Cannon, 31-year-old guy from Notts. So this is super middleweight fight? And this gets a little bit tasty, really. And like I said, I've got something what I want to play to your guys listening. And I'm going to come with this when I can find it. But in the meantime, just roll this tune. I'm feel no way. Let me soon come with it, yeah? Yeah, may I come true right now? May I come true right now with this now, yeah? A little bit of a commercial break going on here. You never know that. Oh, just hold tight, people, because you soon get this. Yeah, just listen to this. It's funny.
Ezra Taylor here at the light heavyweight extravaganza. Yeah. Feeling a little bit left out tonight?
No, man, I had my time last week. It's their time now, man. I said it'll be our time. I've just got my eyes on all of them.
Yeah, look, great win for you last week. If you could pick anyone on this card, who would you want to fight?
Lyndon Norfolk, just because he's got the European title, man, that's one title, you know what I'm saying?
What about that, man?
Willie Hutchinson, yeah.
Willie, come in.
Yeah, I love him. I love him whenever, mate. I love him
yeah,
whenever.
Listen to me, yeah. There's good men in this book. I saw him swearing.
No, yeah, he never, right? Never bothered drop the full version of that, so just cool yourself.
Fights, why not? Definitely.
I don't need a couple of fights. I do not need a couple of fights.
Honestly, it's a fight that could actually happen.
I'll tell you what it is, then. I'll get it on with you next.
Love that.
Forget about any of these.
Love that.
I don't want to, but I'd love to sort you clean out on the next show.
You'll be a proper fixing, you know that?
Me.
Yeah, these two
boys,
them.
Your last fight, son, you're not worth 2 shillings.
Yeah, what about...
that's a fight, that one. Not to be missed, you know? You've got a bit of time to wait before that. You've got to get Christmas out of the way and the New Year parties and the celebrations also as well. But it will continue on the 24th of January in Manchester. Don't forget where you hear that first. Willie Hutchinson v Ezra Taylor. And I reckon there's going to be some fireworks in that one too. You know what I mean? 1847. And do you know what? You know what we've got looking forward to this Sunday, the 23rd of November, at Hillsborough? Well, yeah, you know, this one doesn't need no introduction at all. It's the Steel City Derby, the 134th, believe it or not. And do you know what? Just for the stats, yeah, because stats don't lie, do they? You know what I mean? The Owls have actually, you know, won 42. Blades are edging that, 48 victories. And we've had 43 draws to my reckoning. So, yeah, the 134th Steel City Derby at Hillsborough. Do you know what? I'm not going to sit on the fence of this one, but I'm going to let you know how I see it. And also, I'll give a prediction, what I think the result's also going to be and all. But before we kind of get into the prediction, just all on, yeah? Just all on. It's been a month in now for since the administrations have moved into Hillsborough. I think there's probably about 11... interested people they've got to find we've got to have proof of funds, 50 mil, and like I said, 11 interested, and I say John Bingham is one of them, the 7th Earl, you know, known as most as Lord Lucan, who vanished back in 1974, and not even joking about that, yeah, is one of the 11th, I believe, is the lucky 7th, you know, that's the Earl, you know, Lord Lucan disappear, 74, excuse me, you're allowed to clear your airways on here, you know, but, like I said, they're supposed to have 50 mil, prove that they've got it, but it's not only that, because the takeover will cost the owners over 100 mil over a 3-year period. Yeah? And people might say, nah, it's only 50 mil that they need. who are they kidding you, right? Don't forget, they'll be dipping down a division, end of the season, right? So they'll be in League One, yeah? That squad there, yeah? Free transfers, kids trying to prove themselves as well, right? So that needs a bit of tweaking. Training facilities will need tweaking also as well. Not only that, but don't forget the infrastructure too. Yeah? You know, the stadium, remember that them shut half of it down. Well, maybe quarter of it. Yeah? But for the record, yeah, them shut half down. Yeah? Etc., etc. So you've got all that. So, you know, you're bound to have interesting parties. Do you know what I mean? But out of them, how many are serious? What would you say? 4, 5, maybe 6 as a push, yeah? I mean, the Owls, they kind of like, bottom of the league, yeah? There's only one way they can go, and that's down. Hey! But on a serious note, they've got, you know, they're people to watch, okay? Karamatri, Jamaican international, 20-year-old kid. Apparently flew back on Thursday. They said that when he represents his country in midweek, he doesn't play at the weekends. They tell him to take 5 and all a seat, or they might put him on a bench. But apparently he's been given the all clear to play. He's been given the all clear to play. Yeah, I corrected myself. So don't even bother start on me here. You know, and that was, yeah, Jamaica played Curico. They drew 0-0. Their World Cup dreams took a dent, but they're not out. They're down, but they're not out. Also, I think one to watch, if you've just tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. 1852 and counting. Talking about the Steel City Derby, which is the 101-3-4 Derby. Owls won 42, Blades 48, draws 43. Talking about Wednesday in place to watch, Harry Mass from Manchester United. How old's Harry? Harry Mass. He's about, 21, 22 or something like that, Harry Mass. Player definitely to watch there. I believe he plays on, you know, the left-hand side, left back. Another play to watch is Baz. You know, I remember the last derby. Man should have seen red. Yeah, when him take out the youngster. You know what I mean? That's a definite red card. But anyway, if you're a betting person, I'm not kind of encouraging the betting, but Bannon, yellow card, yeah? Bannon, yellow card, Blades win 2-1, yeah? That's a safe bet for you, yeah? Blades, you know, they've signed Bamford on a free transfer till January. Wilder likes his target men. So, you know, Bamford, he says he's looking kind of fit and stuff. So I reckon Bamford probably starts. It gives United another option, something different at top end of the pitch anyway. I think play to watch, unlikely hero, Sam McCallum, left back for United. It's incidentally that, you know, I'm saying that Harry Mass, left back for Owls, and also Sam McCullum, left back for the Blades also as well. I think in this one, it's going to be, for me, an early goal sets up this game nice. Because then it changes everything. If Blades get an early goal or the Owls get an early goal, it's game on. And that, for me, will make it quite exciting. 2-1, like I said. And I believe that the Blades can take that big time. Listen, I'm hearing a lot about this dude, this referee, Premiership referee called Michael Oliver. And it's just a pity. Excuse me, that the general CV's not here to discuss this. Listen to this.
He has been for quite some time, and I'm going to prove it now. Ready? Are you ready?
I don't know.
This is just last season. Nathan Ake, offside goal versus Fulham last season. Remember that? Leno View clearly obstructed. Goal for City. Kovacic with one of the most blatant second yellows of all time in Premier League history at the Emirates. Remember that? Michael Oliver ignored. And Howard Webb after the game said this, and I quote, Kovacic deserved a red card, but Michael Oliver doesn't like to have a negative
impact.
Hear
that? Howard Webb. Mr. Referee himself.
In the box, no penalty. I can't tell you how that one. No penalty.
So, what do you reckon to that then? Is Michael Oliver City's 12th man? Now, that dude who's put that piece together would have got the stats, would have studied it. Yeah? And like they say, there's no smoke without fire. Yeah? It's off your bun. But the smoke, you get the smoke and the fire too. You know what I mean? Is he the 12th man? Never sent off a City player. Never. Now, people might say, well, you know, is a City player deserve to go? Well, that right boot, what Docker stuck in that Liverpool man's chest, that should have been a red anyway. But I suggest that you watch closely about him.
FA Cup semi-final last season. Doku delaying the restart right in front of his eyes. No yellow. Here's some statistics for you. He's awarded fewer yellow cards to Man City compared to any of the other top eight clubs. He's
hear that?
Once issued a red card.
And not a joke business.
In his career, despite officiating 47 Man City matches, not one red. And to top things off, he was paid £20,000 in 2020.
How much?
To referee a game in the UAE.
Jesus Christ.
Coincidentally, happened to be funded by the Man City owner. Michael Oliver is Man City's 12th man.
Yeah. So, you know, I know there's going to be some people out there who are saying, nah, that ain't true. But, you know, people don't kind of like, you know, gather them stats for nothing. And they are facts. You can see it for yourself. If you go on the tube, that's YouTube, and Google something about Michael Oliver, you know, controversy ref. Always controversial decisions, you know, what he's giving away. So, you know, they don't say that for none. 12th man. But listen, there's a couple of minutes left, and I'll just, excuse me, just talk about City's game against Newcastle United. You know, apparently, the Georgies have been reviewing their training and revisiting, you know, games. Magpies, they need to respond after, you know, not a great start in the Premiership. They're lying 14th, playing second place Man City. Good on form. And they've got good record against Newcastle too. So, you know, Newcastle home advantage. They'll not want to concede. They'll be cautious. But I reckon if City are allowed to play their free flowing football, they probably could capitalise. But if Newcastle are going to kickstart their season, what a way to do it, to entertain the fans, you know, at home. You listen to the Sweet, and I've been talking sports. 1859, and I'm going to be out of here very soon. In a bit.